The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
I started writing a blog, and meanwhile, I have a complete resurgence in my performance career. And directors and choreographers that had never paid attention to me before, and this is after 19 years in the business, are suddenly like, "Who are you?" And I was like, "This is
right.
Crazy.
I never noticed you before."
And not just that, but I felt different.
Yeah.
I felt fearless.
Yeah.
I felt like I didn't have to be perfect. I felt like I could make mistakes.
And Nicole, I believe in positive vibrational energy. Like I think, and I think I'm right, that the we're all we're all electric beings, right? Everything we do, if you're really, really depressed and sad, you affect other people that way. If you're really happy, and I think that's what happened, was your energy changed to the outside world, but they didn't notice. They're like, "Oh, Nicole's new." And you're like, "New? I've been here for 19 years." Right? I mean, that's what it was. And I really, really believe, like, it's almost like the power of positive thinking, because you do put that out. You get back what you put out to the world, you know?
Right. It's so true. And we are energetic beings. I mean, we're literally made of star stuff. Like,
yep.
What's in the universe is inside our bodies. So thank you. Thank you for reflecting that.
Yeah, because you're reflecting out that. And when you were going through difficult times, you're probably reflecting out bad things, and you were inadvertently attracting, because we're not, there's no like no opposite of attracting, right? You attract good things and you attract bad things. Yeah. So if you think of bad things that you don't want to have happen, you accidentally attract them to you as opposed to repelling them.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens, you know?
So I had this resurgence in my career, and my coach was like, "Okay, now you need to monetize your blog." And I'm like, "What's that mean?" You
monetize,
know,
monetize, right?
I'm gonna go do a production of Little Mermaid right now,
right?
But we stuck with it, and we did this exploratory process. And at the end of it, I went, "Oh my God, I want to do what you're doing, but I want to teach about this transformation, which I call a power."
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work. And they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests, where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com, or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hello, my name is Nicole Rogers, and I'm an empowerment transformation coach, and I help speakers, artists, influencers, and public figures to create the impact they desire and change the world through a powerful presence. And I do that by helping them to reframe how they think, act, and feel from a place of power rather than from fear or limiting beliefs.
All right, Nicole. So thanks for joining me on The Accidental Entrepreneur. Amy Adan connected us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Amy's great. She's a real connector and
the
doing all kinds
connector.
Of stuff. Yeah.
She's she really Kevin is great. Bacon of the networking world.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I like that. I like it. I'll have to tell her that. Hopefully she'll listen to this episode. She'll hear what you said. And then we just discovered that I have a client in your neighborhood and I've been like three blocks from your house. It's pretty funny. Right? It's just small world type of stuff.
I love these synchronicities. You know, it's like when we start talking to someone, you suddenly realize, holy moly, we actually have a lot more in common than we thought.
Yeah. Well, I think life is just like, if you mapped it out, it's just like the squiggly line of things happening. And every once in a while, your squiggly line crosses other squiggly lines, or maybe it's always crossing other squiggly lines, but you don't always see those people. But it's definitely a small world, but I appreciate you taking the morning to come on and talk about, you know, the empowerment you do and the helping people with public speaking and, you know, really getting them motivated and all the coaching you do. But maybe we go back to your background, like how you got into this and where you're from and what you did and how you ended up in Eatontown. I don't know, all that type of stuff. I'd like to
how the heck did tell I your end story. Up in Eatontown?
Yeah, what are you doing there? So no offense to the people in Eatontown. It's a nice town, nice beach community. So,
So my little story, I'll try and give a short version and then explain how I ended up in Eatontown, New Jersey. So my background is I was a musical theater performer and choreographer, and I went to Penn State.
Yay.
Guinea pig. Yeah, we are Penn
we
State.
We are, right. I have a sweatshirt from Penn State because we visited there. People pass me, they're like, we are. And my wife's like, aren't you going to respond to them? I don't even know because I didn't go to Penn State, but we visited schools for our kids and I bought sweatshirts. So,
well, yeah. If you wear Penn State, you got to be ready. Yeah, to get in with the
I'm
cheer.
Not, yeah. I'm totally not ready.
But I was part of the guinea pig class in the BFA for musical theater. And so, you know, I came to New York City and I was all fired up and I worked right away. I was, you know, one of those people that really knew what I wanted to do. You know, like in my early 20s, I was very clear. This is what I loved. I loved the stage. I loved that it combined all of my talents together. Singing.
But it was like the first class that Penn State
graduated.
Did this. Well, so you took a big risk.
I did.
Going to a brand new program.
And you know what? Every single semester they said to us, okay, so we're going to try out this curriculum and you let us know.
We were literally
guinea pigs.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of phenomenal that I actually graduated and worked because I was pretty much an experiment.
The whole time. The good thing is I guess you have a lot of input into what you're learning in your program. The bad thing is you're like, I'm a kid. What I'm like new at this. So is the program still going on?
The program is one of the best in the country. And when you open up playbills for most Broadway shows, you will see a Penn State alum. So it's,
very nice.
It's a phenomenal.
But that was because all of your input. So that became the best program in the country.
At least at the beginning.
Right.
But anyway, I came to New York and I was doing what I loved. And my dream was to be on Broadway. That was the whole reason I was going. And I was working at all these levels, but I found that I was really starting to ride this big roller coaster because the theater community, like there's several industries that actually have this where there's more rejection than affirmation.
Yeah. A lot of it's in the arts though.
Yeah. A lot in the arts, a lot in fashion. There's certain industries where it's just, you hear no more than you hear yes. And you know, it's kind of one of those things where your passion gets you to a point. And then I just really started to, I had a very loud inner critic. I was very hard on myself. And I honestly was like, what is going on? And so as my career progressed, as I'm seeing my friends like get this, I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Right.
You know, and it really became into turning into
self-doubt.
Identifying with my results.
Yeah.
So like I get the call back, I'm good. I don't get the call back. I'm bad. So there, what, you know, it's like, I was losing any sense of who am I and any sense of self-worth, you know, it's kind of going out the window. And so what happened for me really was I literally worked at every level, but Broadway. It was almost like a sick joke, like national tours. I was New York City Rockette, regional theater, national commercials. And it was just like, I was just up and down.
Couldn't get on Broadway.
Yeah, exactly. And so what happened for me was in 2013, I call it my year of the flame, because in one year's time, I pretty much lost everything I knew in my life. I went through a devastating divorce after being married for 15 years. I was robbed twice. Oh. I lost a dear friend to a heart attack, and I was in two car accidents.
Oh, so you were at a real inflection point or whatever they call it.
Yeah. You know, I later spoke with a Vedic astrologer who told me that 2013 was my eclipse year. And I think that's probably like a really great way of putting it in perspective. But what happened for me in the face of all of this was I did something I'd never done before, which I asked for help. You know, it
you're
was
not the
like,
kind of person that was like, you always felt you had to do it on your own. And
well, I, you know, I was very driven and very determined,
right?
Had a very strong work ethic. And it was just one of those moments where, you know, you're like, you're on your knees going, this isn't working. And now right. I'm losing everything. So what was beautiful was that in asking for help, you know, they always say when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah.
And so the people that came into my life were amazing supporters and really able to be present and help me in a completely vulnerable time. And I had this voice that came up in my head and said, you need meditation. And I remember thinking, yeah, that'd probably be a good idea considering I'm losing
everything. The whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I started this journey of seeking, and the journey of seeking for meditation actually led me to Buddhism, which I was like,
okay.
I didn't know I was looking for Buddhism. You know, it was like a complete surprise to me.
Buddhism on Broadway.
Yeah. So yeah. I started trying different forms, and I went to the Shambhala Center, which is they do the Tibetan form of Buddhism. Okay. And I went to this support group called the Healing Circle.
This is all in New York City?
Mm-hmm. In New York City. Yeah. The Shambhala Center is down in Chelsea.
Okay.
And I went to this support group called the Healing Circle. And I'd never been to a support group before. So I'm like terrified, you know.
And you
like
went passing, alone?
And I'm alone.
You're brave. You
know, they're passing the mic around. I'm like, God, oh God, you know, and it comes to me. And I decided to do something I hadn't done publicly, which was to be vulnerable and to just
be honest.
Just like, this is where I am in this moment. And so I shared with them why I was there and what was going on. And it was amazing.
That's usually very therapeutic, very cathartic, you know, because it like takes a lot of pressure off of yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because what I found happened was that people came close. And I found that the people after me, it seemed to like open up some energy in the room for them to do the same.
Right. You like gave them the permission to. But I think we all do that. Like we're nervous, right? You're there. You probably can feel it again, right? You were there. You're really nervous. But what's going to happen? They're not going to go like, boo, like after you talk. I mean, this is not going to happen. It's a support group.
Right.
But we do that in our minds.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And for me, that moment was what really planted the seed for the work I do now, because not just as a performer, but really in my life, I thought that I had to have it all together.
Yeah.
Right. That you're saying that I really believed that I would be booed.
Right.
That if I said, guess what, guys, I'm a mess and all this is happening, that people would be like, oh, I don't want to hear that.
Right,
and
exactly.
Turn their back on me.
Right.
And so to be in this space and to have that experience was just like a switch inside of me and recognizing I've been wrong. Like all this time I've been wrong. So
yeah, because nobody has it together. Nobody.
Exactly.
Some people put up some people put up very good fronts. And you're like, well, that person has it together. You know, they're putting on their makeup in the morning, they're getting dressed, they're wearing a suit, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that that's not the way life works. We all get beaten up on a daily basis, sometimes little things, sometimes bigger things. You had a lot of things that happened in a particular year. And that's the reality of life, which we learn, I guess, as we get older, right? You realized at that point that I'm not alone. As a matter of fact, the room's full of it. Everyone's has problems. They're just different. And that's just the way life works.
Right.
But we grow up thinking it's not that way. You're perfect. You can do this and you're driven and this and that. And you can't show that you're vulnerable. And it just affects us in a bad way. So it's good that you crossed that threshold. And we're like, you know, some people spend their whole life and they don't realize it, you know?
Exactly. And you hit on the key piece, which is a moment of me going, I'm not alone. That I can be who I am in this moment and it's okay. And I'll be accepted.
Right.
So coming from And this happens with a lot when you're in front of people, like not just in the arts, for speakers, you know, for people that are in front of others, that there is this conditioning cultural piece that you can't be you. You have to watch what you say. And so it turns into, unfortunately, an immense amount of repression. And so instead of like gaining self-confidence and just self-discovery and self-connection to be like, wow, I'm feeling sad in this moment, or I'm feeling elated in this moment, it, you know, for me and for so many people, it just turns into this loop of
It becomes destructive.
Repression. Destructive, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, what had led me to that point. And honestly, you know, I believe what was playing a large part in so much falling apart the way it did. So I made it through that year somehow without dying.
But you were very brave. Like I don't know if you really reflected on this, but you were looking for answers, right? You were looking for, why is this happening to me? Which a lot of people do, but you were brave enough to literally go alone. And I don't know a lot of people, I don't know if I could have done this, to this organization. And it wasn't like it was your church that you grew up in or your synagogue that you went to. This was a totally foreign thing that you went to. So, you say, what made you walk in there? You just from searching, right? For things.
You know, it's, and I think everyone can relate to a point in their life where they've just said, this isn't working.
Right.
What I've done isn't working. And it's like, there's always this moment where I feel like you are at a crossroads and you just decide, I'm taking this other road because
The other one didn't work.
The other one didn't work. And I will tell you and your listeners that I really like wore out that other path.
Yeah.
Very self-destructive behavior, a lot of really harsh self-talk, lying to people around me, lying to my loved ones.
Kidding yourself.
And it's just like, it didn't work. Look what happened. I lost everything.
But you know what? I think, Nicole, we are so afraid of what we don't know that we stick with the bad things that we do know. Cause I think maybe even subconsciously we're thinking, well, that could be worse. You know, this I know. And then you do get to a point where you're just, you have nothing to lose. In your mind, you're like, it might be the same. It can't be worse. And I'm going to give that a try because this hasn't worked. You've reached bottom. And a lot of people don't.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, you know, what the practice that I ended up finding was Zen. When I did an intro to Zen training up at Zen Mountain Monastery, which is in Mount Tremper. They have a sister temple in Brooklyn.
Yeah. We had a house Shandaken, New York. We just sold it. I grew up going there. I used to drive by the monastery on the way to Woodstock. It's on the back road behind Phoenicia.
Yes.
Yeah. I was wondering, is it a beautiful building?
We used to drive by it
all the time. I'm like, Dad, we should stop there. I don't know if you can just go in.
Yes.
You probably can't. You could?
Well, not right now, but you will.
Yeah. Without the pandemic. So yes, my parents, we built a house in 1986 when I was in college in Cornell. So I was in Ithaca, New York, and I used to come through the woods and stay there with friends, whatever. And because they used to go to the inns up there. My parents are older, and because of the pandemic, all the hipsters and everybody wants to move up there and buy houses. And their house was now valuable. It was always hard to sell. So he said, listen, we're getting up in years. Let's sell the house. But I remember the Mount Tremper, the monastery.
Gosh,
that's crazy.
This is another synchronicity. I love
it. I know. It's amazing. We never met before. We might have crossed paths and didn't know it. Like we're walking through Phoenicia at the same time or something.
Destined to meet now.
Yeah, there you go.
Stories.
There you go. It's in the stars. You said astrology before.
Yeah. So
you studied there. You went up there.
What happened was I did an intro to Zen training weekend there, and I had such a profound experience of my whole body saying yes, and
yeah, like it just felt right. Is that
yes? And also that I felt better after. So it's kind of like, because you say that people are afraid of the unknown, and I get that 100%.
Human nature.
And there was that when I asked for help, the help that came, I felt better receiving it. So that was, you know, if I had, because we've all received crappy advice. We've all had somebody who actually isn't helpful, who then just creates more trauma. Right. Yep. Which would then create you to be like, I don't trust this person. I'm not going to ask for help. But because there was just something, I think, with the full surrender and just a clarity of I want my life to change. I don't want my life to be what it was, that who came helped. And so I could feel that in my body. And so that's what spurned me on. You know what I mean? Like I kept having affirmation.
That was a paradigm shift.
Yeah. I kept having affirmation. And it's like, with all of these horrible things that happened throughout the year, I had the support to get through it. So it was kind of like, for the first time in my life, I was getting tools around how to deal with adversity, which I didn't have. Right. So I think that's important, because it's something that I talk about all the time with my clients, is about having the right support, you know, that it's not toxic, that it's actually healthy and affirming for you. So I came into the beginning of 2014 and I had this feeling of possibility, and it was big for me, especially as a woman, because I had graduated college and gotten married literally 2 weeks later.
Really?
So I didn't know what it meant to be on my own. I was 38 at the time. And I was like, what does it mean for me to create my own life? And so I hired a life coach.
Okay.
And she was brilliant because she got me back to a childhood love, which was writing. So it was like,
how did you find her? There's so many coaches I meet on a daily basis. How did
you
find
what?
Her?
It was honestly, I was on the email list for my yoga studio, and the owner was on a summit, an event. And I signed up for that. And I just was listening to different people on that. And I heard this coach, and it's just,
it resonated with you.
Yeah. So I got on her list and just started listening to her. And then I got on the phone with her, and, you know, I'm sharing with her what I want, like my vision. And she totally believed in me. And so I was like, I'm doing this. And so, she got me back in touch with writing, which was massive, because I really had put my writing in the closet. You know, I believed my dad when he said, you can't make any money from your writing. And so I put all of my attention on the performing, like, okay, this is where I'm going to make a career, you know, and all this stuff.
Well, when did you give up writing? After high school, or did you write in college?
I just writing was something personal, you know? Like,
you never pursued it as my daughter's like that. She's a very good writer. I think she's pursuing it in college. She's going to medical school. But yeah, there's some people that just have a knack for telling stories or writing. She's very descriptive. You're probably like that. And it comes out of you, right?
Yes, it's natural.
Yeah.
So I started writing a blog. And meanwhile, I have a complete resurgence in my performance career. And directors and choreographers that had never paid attention to me before, and this is after 19 years in the business, are suddenly like, who are you? And I was like, this is
right.
Crazy.
They never noticed you before.
And not just that, but I felt different.
Yeah.
I felt fearless.
Yeah.
I felt like I didn't have to be perfect. I felt like I could make mistakes. And
Nicole, I believe in positive vibrational energy. Like, I think, and I think I'm right, that we're all we're all electric beings, right? Everything we do, if you're really, really depressed and sad, you affect other people that way. If you're really happy, and I think that's what happened, was your energy changed to the outside world, but they didn't notice. They're like, oh, Nicole's new. And you're like, new? I've been here for 19 years, right? I mean, that's what it was. And I really, really believe, like, it's almost like the power of positive thinking, because you do put that out, you get back what you put out to the world, you know?
Right. It's so true. And we are energetic beings. I mean, we're literally made of star stuff. Like,
yep.
What's in the universe is inside our bodies. So thank you. Thank you for reflecting that.
Yeah, because you're reflecting out that. And when you were going through difficult times, you're probably reflecting out bad things, and you were inadvertently attracting, because we're not, there's no, like, no opposite of attracting, right? You attract good things and you attract bad things. Yes. So if you think of bad things that you don't want to have happen, you accidentally attract them to you, as opposed to repelling them.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens, you know?
So I had this resurgence in my career, and my coach was like, okay, now you need to monetize your blog. And I'm like, what's that mean? You
monetize,
know,
monetize, right?
I'm gonna go do a production of Little Mermaid right now.
Right.
But we stuck with it, and we did this exploratory process. And at the end of it, I went, oh my God, I want to do what you're doing, but I want to teach about this transformation, which I call a powerful presence. Because in all of my years, I wasn't taught this by any of my teachers in any right. of my classes. And yet it was the single thing that allowed me to transform my life. And so I love the name of your podcast, The Accidental Entrepreneur, because it was a complete surprise to me. I'm like,
right.
wait, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to create my own company and be a coach. Oh my God, I do. You know, it's like, that's the beauty of coaching, is that when you're working with someone good and they hold that space of reflection and openness for you, it allows you as the client to really self-discover, right? It's safe to be like, oh, wow, this is really what's important for me. And then you can craft the plans from there. So I got fully certified through ICF because I didn't want to be
like... She lost a client, but she gained a colleague.
Well, she tossed me off to her business coach so that I could, you know, because I didn't know anything.
Right. Yeah.
About you gotta educate yourself. Business. Sure. Exactly. So I opened up the doors of my business in 2015, and here we are, six years later.
Yeah, but you change people's vibrational energy. I mean, because if you empower somebody and you make them feel good and confident, whether they're standing up in front of 5,000 people or five people, it doesn't really matter. They're putting out to the world and attracting good things and positive people in their life, and things start to change, and they don't even realize. Like, they're like, I don't know, like, how could they not have noticed me? Well, because you were a depressing person before and you were sad, and that person isn't attracted to that. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think there's something really important here too, because there can be a lot of language out there that can make someone feel very self-conscious, you know, for where they are.
And unempowered, so,
right. Like, because the truth is, like, feelings are feelings, right? Yeah. It's not just, we're only talking about feeling happy. Like, you are going to
They're all wrapped together. Yeah.
They're all wrapped together. Feelings are feelings. And what I always say to my clients is that, like, feelings are information. But what is so important about feelings is that they can point us towards what we need. They can point us towards what will affirm our life. Like, they're information to guide us. But I will tell you that how I have built my global community is really through vulnerability. And through me being very honest, because, you know, while I'd like to say that everything was, you know, out of the system for 2013, that's not the case. I have dealt with all kinds of big challenges since that time. But because I have these tools, I call them like a fearless toolbox, it allows me to be present for what I'm feeling and process so that I can be present. So it then becomes more about discernment, because honestly, your sadness can be a great gift to someone else who is sad. So I talk about it as, and it is energetic what you're saying, but I talk about it as what's called the audience loop, which is pretty much from your energy to their energy, to your energy, to their energy, and this sort of exchange, but that it's very important that when you show up to your audience, that you are clean and clear. So that means that you have done whatever self-care you need to do so that you can be in service and clean and clear for them, so that you can inspire them to show up for you. Because at the end of the day, people just want to know, as what you said before, that they're not alone.
Right.
I mean, when I say this to my clients all the time, I'm like, when someone is listening to you, they're listening for one thing, which is, what do we share?
Right. Do I relate to this? Is it a common thread?
Right. What do we share? And so, you know, that is like the greatest, like, human thing for us when we go, oh, you know, like, oh my God, your client lives in my neighborhood.
You went to the Zen monastery.
You know, all of these cool things, they just help us connect, because at the end of the day, you know, we have such a strong need for belonging.
Yeah.
You know, so it's important, I feel like, you know, and I really help my clients with these tools around their strong emotions and times when they do feel vulnerable, to one, perhaps lay a boundary to create some discernment that maybe this is not the time to speak to their audience.
Right.
Or maybe this is the time to speak to their audience with the intention of helping them with their sadness. Or with what they're struggling with, because it's something you share.
Right. Well, I think a lot of things in life are about transparency and honesty and understanding, right? So consciousness is better. We're not self-consciousness. The self-consciousness is not a good thing. But, you know, I think 9 times out of 10, it's all about really realizing, being aware of the fact that, you know, everyone goes through the same thing, or you're going up on stage for the first time. It's your first time, right? Yeah. Everyone in the audience is probably more thankful that they're not the one up there than you are, because they're nervous too. And like, let the air out of the balloon a little bit. It's your first time. It's not going to be great. Might be pretty good if you just relax a little bit, but don't have a lot of expectations, just because that just puts more pressure on yourself. And I think that when you're honest with people and you're open with people, that seems to be the trend. I've talked to habit scientists, and I've talked to neurologists, and I've talked to all kinds of coaches and therapists and things like that. And it all comes down to being self-aware of, you know, what you're going through, and that other people go through the same thing. And it's not as bit like when you went the first time to the support group. From an outsider standpoint, if you step back, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, people aren't going to make you feel bad. It's called a support group for a reason. So they're not going to make you feel bad, but you still have those things. So I think a lot of it is like, we get into our heads too much,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I remember the first time I did public speaking, probably in high school. I was involved in youth groups and things like that. And I would, in front of group, I couldn't even hear myself. I mean, I was so nervous. And then you get past that, and you start to realize things after a while. But yeah, I think that's a big part of life, is, you know, just becoming aware of things, and then we have a common existence.
Yeah. And I think allowing it to be a process as opposed to a result. So for that person that's getting in front of their audience for the first time, if they're getting on that stage or, you know, up in front of the boardroom, and they have attached and had an expectation of a result that they're going to feel great and they're going to love, I mean, yikes, right? As opposed to, why don't I just make this a practice, a process, right? And I'm just going to practice feeling my feet on the floor while I'm speaking. I'm going to practice making eye contact, meaningful eye contact. I'm going to practice having water next to me and making sure I'm taking a drink, because I notice that when I get nervous, my mouth goes dry.
Now you relax a little bit. You're hydrated. And,
yeah. I'm going to practice, you know, taking a breath, just taking a breath in between paragraphs, breathing in and breathing out. Right. I'm going to practice maybe making a little joke or sharing with them, you know what, guys, I'm a little nervous today.
Right.
You know, that, they'd be like, oh yeah, I totally
get
it.
We're all nervous.
Yeah, we're all totally nervous.
Yeah. It's true. I think we've grown up. We're raised to be, like you said, I was very A type too, for the result. Get the A, do the best, win the contest, whatever, you know, be the best speaker. And I think a 9 out of 10, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and, most of all, help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's L-A-W to 21000, to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Right, right. And so it's like, and I see this in my clients all the time when they start getting really like, you know, oh my God, it's the result, the result, the result. Right. And they come to me and they've just got this massive amount of anxiety. And so it's a time to kind of like pull them back and just bring them back to a practice, to just the process. And every time I just see this relief, like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean I can just do one thing at a time? Oh, wait, I can go through this and just concentrate on this one thing. Like, it's like, yes, you know, so it's absolutely, there's so much toxicity that has been put on, into us through conditioning and through culture that is just not helpful. And the good news is that we now have these tools to bring us back. Okay, you know, that's part of the powerful presence is when we're trying to manage the future.
Right.
Which we have zero control over, or we're trying to change the past, which is done. How can we come present? And it can be as simple as literally placing a hand on our thigh or our belly and just taking a breath.
Yeah. Yeah. I think worry and anxiety, like the worst two emotions ever invented. It doesn't help the process, right? It doesn't change the outcome. It changes your health, but it doesn't. You know, and you worry about things that you totally can't control. And if you focused on, like you said, the process and doing things, there's all kinds of ways things can work out fine and well and keep you moving forward and so forth. It, you know, it's not the bad results, probably a very small percentage of outcomes, but worrying about it, you know, it's almost guaranteeing. It's like you're asking the bad result to come to you.
Right. Well, and again, coming back to feelings or information, you know, like I feel worried, I feel anxious, that actually can be an alarm bell. Oh, wow, I'm feeling worried, I'm feeling anxious. Like, let me take a breath and just kind of gain some understanding about that. Let me understand what's really going on here. So, you know, when, because there's never a problem, right? It's not a problem that there's anxiety. It's not a problem that there's worry.
It's a signpost.
Exactly. And so that again allows you to come back into what is a practice and a process that I can do in the face of these things that allow me to come present, you know, as simple as like taking in my surroundings.
Yeah.
Maybe like, what am I hearing right now? You know, something that just kind of gets the monkey mind that's been going like this.
Right.
And brings you back into your body.
Yeah. I'm sure you do too. I have those feelings. And then sometimes I look around and I'm like, am I being rational? Is it silly? Is it, why am I feeling this way? I don't need to feel this way. That's stupid. You know, not everybody can do that. I understand that. But for the most part, I can, you know, put things in perspective from a standpoint of, okay, I'm human. I react to triggers and sensitivity too, but feelings and beliefs and thoughts in your mind are a choice to a large extent. I mean, I know there's some people that can't, but for the most part, you can control what your thoughts are. You can rationalize with yourself and say, hey, I need to put this down. It's not going to kill me. I'm okay. And, or maybe you got to talk to somebody to get there.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, that's going to be different for everybody,
right?
Depending on, you know, where they are and what has led them to that anxiety. You know, there could be trauma or something like that where, you know, that is literally not available to them in the moment. And so this is why, you know, I do a lot of like embodiment practices with my clients in the face of these things to, again, it's like, how can I not leave my body? How can I be here now? You know, you think about public speaking, right? Like I'm sure people have had the experience of literally feeling like they're up above their body.
Yeah.
And like, they literally don't remember what happened. And like, they're like, and I just got to the last page of my speech and I don't know what happened. So, you know, it's these little practices that allow, that say it's okay for what I'm feeling. And how can I just continue to stay here in my body and process. And a lot of my clients do work with therapists because, you know, coaching goes to a certain point and then therapy is an important part of that.
But it's still tools, right? I mean, you're still giving them tools to cope, deal, recognize, you know, get better results, whatever it is.
Well, it's that they are, it's like a continual practice of recognizing that what they need is within them.
Right.
And I think that that's where the biggest anxiety comes is that we always think it's outside.
Like because we don't feel like we're in control in those cases.
Right.
And we really are.
And it's so
like
talking about like the thoughts, you know, our brain is our brain And yeah. thoughts are always going to happen. Like our organ is working just like the heart.
We almost think in questions all the time.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you. I'm thinking about what I'm doing later. Well, why is Nicole that? What's that flower behind Nicole? What's she doing? She told me that she lives. Oh, I remember that monastery when I used to go there when I was a kid. I mean, your mind, like, that's why you need like what you said before, like meditation, because you got to calm the computer,
right.
so to speak.
So that's what I was going to say is that it's, you know, it's allowing these practices that you can recognize thoughts are going to arise. My mind is doing what it does and it's okay. You know, so a lot of the tools that I offer my clients are how to tune out a lot of the outside noise, whether that has been society or conditioning or, you know, the message that they can't be who they are, you know, or that they have to look outside of themselves for approval. The audience is going to tell me if I'm okay. No. That audience loop only works if you are grounded in who you are. That's what creates the beautiful energetic loop that's healthy, right? Not toxic. We're not looking to right. create more toxicity. So it's that when the mind is going nuts, when there is anxiety, that there are ways to relax the body, to calm the mind, and to come back in to access your, what I call unstoppable confidence, which is inside. You know, my tagline is who you are is your greatest power.
Yeah.
And that's each person inside. That's their beautiful light inside. And so a lot of what I'm doing is helping my clients to discover and access that so that when they are in those moments of, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. This is an important moment.
Right.
You know, what I'm about to do matters.
And they're making it bigger than it is, really.
Yeah. That they have these tools to ground in that moment so that they can actually be present for it, enjoy it, create the impact they want to, and actually be creating change, like that positive change, which then, you know, they affect one person, the audience goes out. It's like that beautiful ripple effect that happens.
Yeah. So, all right. So I have a bunch of questions for you. So
okay.
you told me, I think it was off the mic, where we were talking about that you originally were working with a lot of creatives because you're in the, you know.
Yeah, because I was an artist
business.
First.
Right.
Yeah.
And now you work with a lot of entrepreneurs and different, because entrepreneurs are creative types. I mean, we're very left, right brain. That's why a lot of us don't pay attention to like financials and stuff like that, because we don't want to do that. We want to create our product and the marketing that goes with it and the this and the that. So what are the kind of things you see that business owners face, like on a regular basis, the clients that you're working with, to help them be more empowered is the word. That's your word.
Yeah.
So
you know what? Like, it's actually the things that I was talking about, because for business owners, you know, they're in front of their client base. You know, they're constantly built. They have to have a team, right? You got to right. have a team. And so a big thing that I work on with my clients is really relationship building. And so that begins first with the relationship with yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you view yourself? Are you okay with who you are? Do you know who you are?
Right.
And then the relationship with your team.
Okay.
So are you creating a team that supports and affirms you? Are they on the same page? Or are they just making you wrong all the time? Are they talking over you? You know, like, is it just a play out of like really bad relationships? Like, is this someone that you would never date, but you're in business with? Like, you know, what's going on there?
Right.
And then the relationship with your audience. So that's your clients, your customers, you know, the people you're in front of. And especially for what's happened, you know, now everything's so virtual. So as an entrepreneur
right.
today, like you have a podcast, there's Facebook Lives, there's LinkedIn Live, like there's such a component that's asked of business owners today of showing up.
Right.
And
right.
so what I have experienced with my clients who are business owners is that same thing of, you know, I'm nervous. I'm nervous to stand in front of them and really offer what I have and speak about it with confidence. And so they end up, you know, underselling themselves or overselling and being pushy, right? You and I talked about that. There's two sides,
there's
right?
There's a balance, right?
There is a balance. And so it really does come back to that confidence piece about, as a business owner, be able to really like stand in what you do and what you offer, and to present that with confidence.
So a lot of the business owners you work with are dealing with teams and employees, or is it customers, or it just runs the gamut?
It's the things that I see the most are teams, you know, where they've been disappointed and they'll come to me. And a lot of times my clients have been doing too much.
Disappointed with the results of their team, and they're not like delegating things properly or working
well,
with the people
because
properly.
They tried delegating and it didn't work out.
Right.
And so then they're just taking it all on. Well, they are not doing it the way that I want. It didn't work out. So now I have to do it. But then they end up being burnt out and exhausted. And so I really help with creating boundaries, and let's get clear about what does your ideal team look like, feel like, what do they believe, you know, how do they show up? And so again, it's that analogy of, I always love to use like the dating analogy, because sometimes it can be the easiest, you know, think about like, at what point have you gone on the date and you're like, yeah, I'm not gonna go on a
this is not working for me.
Because wowza, you know, so the thing that is really important with relationship building is that there is a bit of grace in the release, because I'll see it can be very easy to get caught in they did me wrong, and then it turns into this sort of like, I'm not letting go of it. You know, so then there's fighting. Let's say they're no longer on the team, or there's some legal action or something.
Right.
And it's taking all of their energy, as opposed to them just releasing that person, recognizing, you know what, they just weren't a fit.
Right.
I'm going to take that energy now and place it towards a really great job description.
Yeah. No,
you know,
it's true.
Some really qualified referral sources, some people that I respect, that I see have great teams.
Right.
You know, like using your network wisely, and then filling that with somebody that is just going to make your business flourish. And honestly, your well-being, you're like, I want to show up and work with these people.
Right. Yeah. You want to feel good about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was explaining to somebody the other day, I think I told you, I don't litigate. I'm not a litigator. I'm a business attorney. Yeah. I draft agreements. I help people with transactions, and I negotiate and I advise them and so forth. But I have friends who litigate. And we were talking the other day about, you know, do you win when you litigate? And I said, well, nobody wins when you have litigation. They're like, well, you know, sometimes you do. I go, no, you don't. Because even if you win the lawsuit, right? Yeah. Assuming you get your money or whatever it is you're looking for, it has drained your life so much that you could have used that energy to focus on, you know, building your business, finding a new job, building a new network, whatever it is, to move forward in a positive direction. And you just, excuse the lack of a better, you just got the shit beat out of you while you're fighting over this stuff for maybe years in some cases. And people get so, like you talked about before, attached to certain feelings. They're so attached, very common in divorce situations, right? One spouse just won't just let it go. You know what I mean? We got kids. Let's work it out. We don't have to be a part of each other's lives. It didn't work out, and move on. And I have friends who are getting divorced and have gotten divorced. And, you know, one spouse is just like, it's all scorch and burn, you know, and they're so mad. They're so upset. You know what? They can't get past their own feelings and the littlest things, like they blow up over, you know, their attorney fires them. They quit. They're going through tons of money. Because, you know, you're fighting over everything, and it just, oh my God, it's so not healthy. And yeah, it's just not good. So I try to tell people, listen, just let's work it out, settle it up, and focus on your energy moving forward and be positive. Call Nicole and get, you know, an empowerment coach. Don't focus on all the negative things that you think are going on in your life. This is happening to you. It's never going to change. It's always going to be like this. That's not true. It doesn't have to be, you know, that way.
Right. But it's, and again, this comes back to, you know, these tools are not taught. They're not mainstream. So it's when there is strong, and I mean, I was very angry in my divorce. So angry because, I mean, you know, therapy is a wonderful.
All of your life into this, you know?
Yeah. Well, and
how long were you married? You said
I was married for 15 years and we were trying to have a family, and it's like, oh, now you don't want to have kids. But you know, what was so helpful, and this was said to me by two teachers, one of them, the teacher who was doing the support group, and then another Zen teacher that I saw, was they were helping me understand anger, because I had zero tools around anger, around processing anger. You know, I just got angry and I would just throw it.
Yeah.
And that's really destructive, right? Super destructive.
To yourself,
for me.
Not forget about other people. Yeah.
For everyone that's, you know, getting this and just going, wow, what is going on with Nicole?
Holy mackerel.
But what was really helpful was when my teacher said to me, think of underneath the anger as really a crying child. And so that helped me so much when I felt, you know, some days that I was just consumed by it.
Right, right.
Because I didn't want the divorce, and it didn't matter what I did, but it was such a great opportunity for me to recognize I can't control another person.
No.
And I thought I could.
It's the belief in life. We all think he'll change. Yeah. She'll change.
No.
She's going to be this. Oh, she doesn't want kids. I'm sure she'll feel differently
no.
about it in 5 years.
No.
No. Just don't expect that. They might change on their own for some reason, but you're not going to change them.
Yeah.
They'll fight it, as a matter of fact.
It helped me, and maybe this might help your listeners who might be dealing with anger as well, to then place my attention more on what was crying, like what was calling for love, as opposed to fighting.
Right.
So that I really appreciated you bringing that up, because I know that was also like a big moment for me at my crossroads of seeing how much I had fought. And I'm like, I don't want to fight like this anymore.
Right.
So then what I need to do is learn, what does that look like for me? How does this work? You know, because it does take an immense amount of courage, because again, this is not what we're taught.
Right. No, we're not. And it's a way to put a bit of a positive light or energy onto a bad situation. I mean, it's not going to go away overnight. And I'm sure you still have nightmares or wake up and you're disappointed that now are you remarried?
So
are you
how I got to Eatontown? How I got to Eatontown was I came down here for love. And yes, I did remarry. So the very happy ending to that part of the story.
Right.
You know, and it was 4.5 years and a crazy journey, because I'd never been on a date in my life, because I literally went from, you know, college to marriage, and dated my first husband all through college. So it was, you know, it was like, what is this crazy thing and Tinder and all these apps and all that stuff. I mean, I was a mess. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But I did find my life partner, and he's an occupational therapist down here in New Jersey. And so that's what brought me down here. And honestly, the journey to him is another one of those like affirmations of this work and what it can produce and the transformation that can occur. When I think about so many of the dynamics that were present in my first marriage, and then me just making that decision, I don't want that again. I don't want to repeat that again.
I probably wasn't healthy.
Yeah, no, not for either of us, you know?
Right, definitely.
And so, you know, coming then and attracting this incredible man and both of us having this commitment together, you know, because he had been through his own toxicity and he was like, yeah, no, I'm like, we were both, you know, when you find each other later in life, you're very focused. It's not like
it's not like
younger where it's
you
just kind of like
yourself. Yeah.
Prince Charming and the fantasy.
Oh my God. You think like life
stuff.
Is ridiculous. They should be like, they should like outlaw marriage from 20 to 30 or something like that.
We're
totally too immature to deal with it. But then people probably wouldn't procreate. That would be the problem next. Like you're young. You're too stupid. You just have kids. Like I didn't have until later. My wife late. We didn't have kids. So we were in our 30s and, I mean, it was exhausting. So I think if I was 20, I would have been too stupid to know and I could stay up all night and it didn't matter. But yeah, I think you have to be a whole person. You have to get to the point where you say, you know what, I'm happy, I'm good. And then you come together, but you didn't have the opportunity to do that because he was basically your high school boyfriend, basically.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
College.
You met in college?
Yep.
Yeah. He met you and then that was it. Never went on a date again. Yeah.
So that's why the relationship piece is so profound and important, because I've just seen the miracle of it in my life, you know? And so it's a big thing that I help my clients with. And you also said something great, which was you have to be whole. So it's like wholeness is again within you. And it's something that it's your own journey. Everybody has their own journey. And so, you know, I'm helping my clients along the way with what are those steps on that journey for them to be recognizing, oh, my powerful presence is within me and I have the ability to access it in every moment.
Good stuff. All good stuff. So, okay. So this is an entrepreneur's show and you are an entrepreneur. I mean, you're a coach and you're an empowering person, but it's a business for you. I mean, this is how you make a living, right? So how do you, there's just coaches out there listening, right? And they have businesses. So how do you run your business and more importantly, grow your business? Like, how do you meet other people? You don't just go up to somebody and say, you know, you look depressed to me. I think I can help you. It's like, that's not a conversation season. No. That was like a weight loss coach. You go up to somebody and go, you know, you really could use my help.
Oh, no, and like, no, what? No.
Yeah. So how do you network and market and meet new clients?
Great question. So most of my business is through email marketing. So I spent a lot of the beginning of my business building up a database. And I did that through partnered events, through summits, and really built up an email list of people that wanted what I had. You know, they had an opportunity to be a part of my events and hear me speak.
Right. They want to get your content. They want to hear from you.
Exactly. And they've been able to go through some sort of experience with me, you know.
Like they attended an event or they watched you on Zoom or whatever, right?
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. And so that's the bulk of my business. And then the next part is really networking. So I've been a BNI member for 5 years. It's been a huge part of my business. What I love about BNI and other groups that are similar to that is that they have the belief of givers gain, which is that you come together every week or twice a month or whatever it is, but your sole purpose is to help each other and to help be referral partners. Because at the end of the day, cold traffic just takes a long time.
Yeah.
This is why people end up spending.
And it's not fun.
Well, unless you have a
hard to build a relationship
budget, if you have a big budget, great, go for ad spend. If you have $10,000 a month, great. I'm not in that place with my business where I have that kind of money for ad spend. So I'm creating warm referral partners.
Yeah.
And, you know, email marketing and warm referral partners have been kind of like the two biggest things. And those are actually the two biggest ways that one, how I built my business and how I continue to grow my business.
Yeah, I think, and it's not just specific to your industry. I think that's the one thing that business owners miss. Like they don't build, they might do Facebook ads, they might do marketing, maybe they have an ad budget, whatever, but they don't build what I call a keep in touch list. Yeah. A list of people that have interacted with you. I have, I don't know, last time I checked, 2,700 people on my list. I don't know them all. I've interacted with them somehow. They've ended up on my list and they hear about the podcast episodes and they hear about we're starting up a blog again. So, you know, guest blog. I am going to hit you up though for an article for a guest article from my blog. So,
and
that'll go on the blog and then we'll promote that. And then you promote and we cross promote and people, they really overlook that. And they're like, well, I don't know. We put things on LinkedIn once a month. I'm like, okay, that's all you're doing. Like you got to have these people that follow you and know you and get to know you and trust you and like what you're, not everybody's going to like what you have to say. They can opt out, but you know, really learn about who you are and the ideas that you have in those relationships. And then one day somebody needs to talk to somebody and they go, you know, I've been hearing from Nicole every month and I like what she has to say. And they pick up the phone or they send you an email and a lot of businesses miss that huge opportunity.
Something was really helpful that my first business coach taught me was that the sale happens in points 6 to 12. Like if you imagine you have like 12 points, it's not like I think it's grown.
I think it's now it's like 12 to 18 because we're so busy with the information. Yeah.
But you know, there's unicorns out there, right? The people that just see you and they're like, oh my God, you're the person. I've got to hire you, Mitch. You know, but
right.
What happens is, unfortunately, the unicorns get put forward as the norm, and that's not the case. No. I've been very grateful for my unicorns. You know, I get on the phone for the first time and they sign up for a big program. That's great. But I celebrate them and recognize that they are the anomaly, and that right. Most of the people that come into my programs have been watching me and listening right. to me. So I know that it's my job to be showing up, right. up with consistency and really clarity. Like, I need to make sure that, okay, this is helpful. I've seen it work for my clients, yeah. you know, and I, this is the thing that I want to teach. And I think that's so important. I probably say this across the board, but you have to be motivated to do what you do. Like, you have to be getting up in the morning.
And that's got to be reflective to people that want to work with you.
Yes.
And if they don't get what you're saying, you're not going to be able to help them anyway.
No.
They have to be like, you know, like what you have to. Right, exactly. And that takes, like you said, the unicorn is the exception. That takes, you know, the person getting to know you and seeing what your point of view is and hearing what you have to say and what your demeanor is. And, you know, are you passionate about what you do? Do you care about the people that you work with? And then people, because what people share with you is pretty intimate, you know, and if they're not honest and open and tell you about things, you can't really help them, and they're not helping themselves. They should go to somebody else that they feel comfortable with opening up to, you know. There's a different pot for every kettle, whatever the expression is.
Absolutely. And that's another big thing that I think is so important around support, is that you feel safe and that you feel like you can trust them. So, you know, my clients that have had the greatest results, there's a level of trust.
Yeah, right. And sure. So, because they've been following you. They've been listening to you. They feel like they know you. The podcast does that for people who call me. They're like, I feel like I know you. Well, because they listen to you and I talk for 45 minutes to an hour, and I'm doing it twice a week. And it's just a funny kind of thing. But yeah, I think it's very important. And I think for people out there listening, first of all, and we'll put this in the show notes, you know, how can they interact with you? They go to your website. What's your website?
Yes. So NicoleRogers.com.
Right. But it's N-I-K-O-L, right?
Yes. N-I-K-O-L-R-O-G-E-R-S. I know. Totally strange. I'm.
That's why we'll put a link in the show notes so they won't.
It's the craziest spelling of Nicole ever. I was right. named actually after a performer friend of my mom's in high school. So you see, it was all okay. Like, it was decided before I
all
even came
together.
Out, you know?
Right. But they can sign up for your mailing list, your email list on the site.
So, actually, and I believe you said you're going to have this below. I have a gift
okay.
for your audience.
Very good.
So for anyone who's really struggling with that inner critic, like we talked about the anxiety and the voice, like especially if they're getting up to do a presentation or a performance or give that talk, and they just have the voice that's saying, you don't get to do this, you don't deserve this, you know, it's like
an
incessant loop. Yeah. Thanks. So I have this very simple training, but extremely effective, called inner critic training, to help you to transform that voice and finally reclaim your power. Silence that thing for good. Okay. So I believe that'll be below.
Yeah, we'll put a link to the information. Is that what we're going to do?
And then they can click on that
and
then just put their name and email. It'll come right into their inbox and they can work on that inner critic right away. So they don't have to be struggling with it. Guess what?
Right.
There's a wonderful solution. And
right.
so I've just seen this work again and again and again. And so it was something that I wanted to put out as something free for people to be able to access.
Well, Nicole, I can't thank you enough for sharing your story, for sharing your passion, for sharing you're not enthusiastic enough. I think that's the problem. And you definitely don't smile enough. So
I'll work on that.
Energy is infectious. And I think it's important and I think it's good. And I do appreciate you coming on and spending time with me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's been
Thanks, Nicole.
A pleasure.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinheckerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.